Blog Talk Radio.
So it's been a long time since we've heard that one. This is Fred McMurray, and you're on a Chicagoan View from the Pacific of Business, Speeches, Marketing, and Donuts. Today's our first show in a long, long time. Been on hiatus for a while, and finally got coming back to the show. We've actually moved from Tech Talk, which was in Chicago, and I took a long migration from the Midwest to wonderful Shell Beach, California, where we can, I'm sitting at my desk, I can see the Pacific. Along the way, we had a great time, and we stopped in to see some old friends who were going to be on the show. We're going to have our old friend Mike Bowler, who's in Denver, and talking to him about business. Not too many beaches in Denver, maybe a few, marketing, donuts, and what he sees. So first, there's something I want to talk about. It's a really cool article I saw in the news, and that's Larry Page of Google. Google fame is working on building flying car factories. So if you've got a comment about the flying car factories, give a call at 323-580-5755, and let's bring our friend Mike Bowler on. Mike, are you there?
Oh, Fred, how you doing today?
I'm fine, Mike. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've been on the radio together, hasn't it?
I'm extremely flattered and delighted that you'd even consider me as a guest. But kind of goes back, get some of the bugs worked out here in your inaugural session, and I'm sure it's going to take off like wildfire.
Well, you and I, it was a long, long time ago, 2010, when we did the first Link Local Network Report show?
I believe.
And if wow. So how's life in Denver? You look like you're having a good time when we're out there. I saw you the day the Broncos won the AFC playoffs, wasn't it?
I don't remember the exact day, but it was a great day. Obviously, defending Super Bowl champs. Although, it's hard to say what's going to happen with those guys this year. I think typically the way the salary cap is set up and structured with the NFL, kind of split the people up so they can't keep all the players. But yeah, it was great to see both you and Michelle of Mediavine Marketing, which you are also. But Denver's really a nice place, I can tell you. You know, when we're in Chicago, we talked about this, and lo and behold, here I am in Colorado, and you made it out to California. Lot to like in Denver. You know, you're right, there aren't many beaches, but that's okay by me. It's a really growing fast, amazingly. A lot of people moving here for various reasons, and I know what you're going to bring up, but I don't think that's typically their interest in the cannabis industry. Is really the start of a new kind of area, and the whole country's kind of looking at it. But there's so much growth going on from people moving here. It's in addition to having great weather, minimal snowfall, really, mildest winters I ever spent. It's a well-kept secret.
So, if there's not many beaches there, how are the donut shops?
You know, Fred, I'm not really a fan of the donut shops. I thought it was pretty interesting as I was reading this. I don't recall your interest in them either. But I know there's got to be a reason for it. So, there is a particular kind I like, but I haven't had any donuts for a long time. And I don't even know what the name of it is. It's one of those circular ones with chocolate on top and then the white filling in the middle. Bavarian or something.
So Boston cream. You're a Boston cream fan. I'm a Bavarian cream, which has the yellow cream in there.
Could go with either one.
All right, my favorite donut shop in at least Chicagoland is Deerfield's. Deerfield's. There's one in Schaumburg, and then there's one up in Deerfield's. And man, two or three of those, they're huge. They're the size of your fist, which tells, and Mike's got a really big fist. For anyone who's met Mike, you know, big head, big fist, big heart. But two or three of those will put me into a diabetic shock.
That's been known to happen.
Big fan.
You know, I'm kind of surprised. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't mention Starbucks. So I'm assuming these donut shops have some extra strength coffee or caffeine to fuel that little habit you get going.
Well, amazingly enough, when I go to a donut shop, I almost never get the coffee. It's always just for the donut. And I also don't tend to get donuts at the coffee shop. But actually, you know what? The next show we'll have to talk about coffee shops. Because as you know, and as many of our friends and connections know, I am a definite coffeeholic.
Well, that was the basis for our one of the things that we used to run there, the Caffeinated Connections, little networking groups that would meet in the morning and kind of kick the day off. So thank goodness you had that little habit. It was pretty successful. You know, bringing some people
in. Well,
applaud you for starting this back up again. It'll take a little while to get some listeners, but I'm sure it's going to take off.
Well, we know that coffee saves many people's lives. In fact, I think you were the one who used to say, no, just let them alone until he gets that first coffee. You'll be safer that way. And I still relate that story to people.
I'd say at least a couple of cups would probably be the course. You talk to your business partners, Ms. Rumpel, and I think she'd probably concur with it. So anyway.
A lot of people
So you're broadcasting from your office out overlooking the Pacific, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. And you can see some of the shots that I posted there. It's a beautiful, sunny day. I actually took in awesome news today, I was, to our listeners, I've been involved with a veterans not-for-profit that's working on bringing housing to homeless vets. And they bought their first building, and I was able to connect them with another not-for-profit that does end-of-life care for vets. And it looks like they've been a partner. And I was able to connect everybody up on that call today between the first two. I was standing on the back deck watching the Pacific. And Mike, it just doesn't get much better than that when you get to watch the Pacific and help homeless vets. I mean, dude, that's a good day no matter what.
Well, you've always been an expert connector, so I'm glad to hear that you're not letting those abilities get rusty, you know, but that's a very good thing. You know, there's a lot of people in this country that can use a lot of help, which, you know, I understand they just had the primary out there in California. So is this going to become a variety of different topics that can be discussed on the local network now, or are you going to try to focus on something in particular?
Well, for what Mike's alluding to is I had been engaged by a candidate for the U.S. Senate, independent candidate, and I was his campaign manager, and it drove me up a wall for at least 4 or 5 months, and I hadn't taken a day off in I don't know how long. And the primary was on Tuesday. They're still counting the votes, but he will not be in the top two. But it was, I had a great time doing it. I learned a whole lot about, as you know, Mike, I'm a cynic on politics coming from Chicago, and a lot of what I saw, amen to that. There's a reason why the political parties are having problems, because they don't want to listen. They don't want to represent the people of the U.S. And so we'll leave that one. I'm just glad it's over, and I can quit following politics for a couple of years, because all I got to do now is go out and vote. But I did get to yell power the people for a while. And it is what it is. So tell me, you said you had a lot of building going on in Denver.
There is.
What do you attribute most of the building to?
I guess limited amount of space in terms of for the people in the rest of the country. Denver's one of the fastest growing states in the union. I don't know. There are 100,000 people or something, I believe it's what I read last year, and they just really don't have enough housing. So, and I'm not versed in the different types of permits and what they can build and what they can't build. There's an inordinate amount of cranes set up all over the place, particularly downtown, and they just can't build the places fast enough. Rents are sky high. Appreciation, at least currently in the real estate market, is big, and can't say why everybody would was maybe looking at Colorado or deciding upon it as a destination to move to. It just somewhat surprises me. Obviously, if after you've been out here and after you've experienced Chicagoland traffic, which now that you're in California, perhaps that's even worse, although you're not in a metropolitan area, I was quite surprised at how bad the traffic here in Denver is. But I believe that that's because they never anticipated it ever having this many people on it. You know, there's essentially one highway that goes through downtown, and even though it's five or six lanes, it just takes one car to either be going slow or involved in a minor accident or gapers blocks or whatever, and you're pretty much out of luck. So the highways they have built in the one downtown, there's no way to, there's no place to put additional ones. So they're really invested in, they call it the light rail, which is kind of like the L in Chicago, and they've expanded that. It goes out now. Actually, they just opened that. It goes all the way out to DIA or Denver International Airport and connects to downtown. And they're building on that like crazy also. So from a growth standpoint, it's taken off. I mean, I don't know. But that's just the metropolitan area. But I guess the recreational areas, which include all the ski mountains and stuff, ski locations, if you will, are also growing. So there's a lot to see and do out here, I tell you. For a guy like you, enjoys the outdoors, you know, there's no telling how much trouble you get into.
Okay. Well, so while you're on here, we've got another friend dialing in. We got Mary Erling. She and I grew up together, and she's a sales audit, sales growth authority, as well as written books on the five generations. Mary, say hi to Mike.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, Mary, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were waiting. I thought perhaps I was just listening, not that I was able to speak, so that's why I dropped off.
Oh no, we got three people from Chicago here. One's in Chicago, one's in Denver, and one's in California. So we actually have half the continent covered. So, Mary, the important question of the day: what's your favorite donut, and what's your favorite donut shop?
My favorite donut would actually my favorite donut shop would be Herner's out in Batavia.
Wow.
And my favorite donut would be pretty much anything Herner's makes with fruit in it.
Oh, so you're like a frosted donut with fruit filling?
Yes.
Okay. All right, folks, so if you want to call in and tell us about your donut, favorite, call 323-580-5755. So, since I have both of you on the phone, we've talked a bit about how business is booming in Denver and there's a lot of growth. Mary, what are you seeing in Chicago? Business-wise, that is. Where are the big opportunities?
Well, yes, it's pretty much an assortment. I'm kind of hearing that there are a lot of very talented people leaving the large company world because it has changed so much for many reasons, post-recession, also international ownership, needless to say, just sick and tired of the corporate life, and they're seeking opportunity in smaller business and realize that their skills are much needed in the small business world. Sometimes those transitions are tough, but nonetheless, what an opportunity for small business to get big business talent.
Awesome. So I know that obviously you've written books on five generations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that the people leaving big corporate America for small business, do you see that? Is there any breakdown along generational lines? Or is it just everyone saying we're tired?
Interesting that I had a question at one of my networking groups today. I own five going on six private networking groups, and somebody said, "What do you see business? How is that going to transition? Do we really need offices and essentially storefronts?" And I said, "Depends on what you do. Generationally, there are people that don't feel they need to go to storefronts. Those storefronts can disappear. Now, there are certain businesses that a storefront required, something like a restaurant. You know, for larger companies, you know, they're going to need to evolve. There always is going to be a need for inventory. Amazon, I think, is kind of one of those big companies on the leading edge of keeping distribution centers very convenient. So as far as generational influences, I guess, again, depends on the business, but how business is done needs to accept the fact that it needs to change. One IT firm doesn't necessarily have a hard start time and end time. As long as the customers are taken care of, I'm not so concerned. So as long as we keep a customer-directed focus and are more focused on results, he's not so concerned that somebody comes in 5 minutes late. You know, at the same time, he's not so concerned with people spending overtime. What he's concerned with is his customers getting served and keeping and teaching his younger personnel what that really means. So, yeah, generational influences, diversity in general is kind of turning business on its ear right now. A lot of people are kicking and screaming or putting their heads in the sand either way at these changes, but reality is it's going to change. How you respond to that change will determine your level of success as these transitions continue to occur.
Okay. So Mike and I have been doing sales for a long, long time. What, and I'll ask you first as you're the expert, and then I'll let Mike give his input. But what do you think is the number one mistake most sales folk do?
Take the old school approach. You know, the typical what you've learned in sales training approach. The typical what you've learned in the sales training approach. You say this, I say that. You say this, I say that. Taking sales as far more of an opportunity to build relationships, be a resource, collaborate, so I think that's it. The sales process has changed. The other side to it is not understanding at how different generations buy things. I gave two, I cheated. But that would be the two things I would say.
Okay, so Mike, she's got you on the spot now. She gave it two, so now you got to give two.
Well, I didn't know if I was going to give two, but I did have a question. If Mary would be kind enough. You know, you mentioned earlier that people are leaving like a lot of the corporate positions and going to small business. Are you seeing those folks being entrepreneurs, if you will, and starting up their own businesses, or just kind of like downsizing them? size of the business they're representing or joining?
I'm actually seeing it on both sides. I'm seeing people clearly starting. You know, there's a gentleman that's in one of my groups that is a franchise consultant. So people that have built up, you know, monies to be able to invest in franchises. There are franchises that are not so time intensive from an owner perspective that exist. So clearly that entrepreneurial or franchise world is someplace where corporate people are escaping to. The other is clearly in managerial roles. General managers, operation managers, a lot of people in the accounting world get some experience in, you know, the big box accounting firms, and then at that, at some point they move into the private sector in a role. So I see it in both ownership as well as more manager roles.
Okay. I mean, I was kind of interpreting it as there's so many different types of businesses now, and there's that are really good disruption to what, you know, normal business has been in the past. I thought perhaps that might have been a part of it, you know, like whether it's Airbnb or Uber or some of those different companies like that that have just taken a large position, really, in the marketplaces and kind of make some of the other companies in there that have been there forever obsolete. My observation, at least out here, is surprisingly, this whole area is quite a tech center. It's clean, and there's a tremendous number of startups, both in Denver and Boulder. So I guess my observation is that in terms of sales, you're really becoming, you know, there's so many different ways, but you become a consultant and you don't really sell. I guess it's more, instead of sales, it's like market, solve the problem. Where's your pain point, you know, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And Fred knows how good I am at tech, but it certainly seems that there's all different types of ways that you can do business now. And the explosion of the different generations, which it'd be nice if I was a little more tech savvy. The younger ones, it's just changed the way that business is being done. I knew you'd enjoy that, Fred.
Yeah, you and tech savvy, that one always, I've seen your head almost explode from Verizon reps talking.
Yeah, I try to embrace it.
That one always makes me proud.
Yeah, but I guess those would be the, I don't know if that answered the questions, I just see it being different than as Mary mentioned, as it used to be in the old days, and I'm old enough to remember that.
So, another topic that is near and dear to my heart are zombies. Do you believe that the zombie apocalypse is upon us?
I hope you're not asking me that question because I'm out of that.
Okay, so I was at an event that was the Emergency Preparedness Expo here. And I said, yeah, and we need to go. I found with the people who I went with, and I said, well, you know, it's good to go to this expo. All right, so I want to do some business development. But I said, you never know when we're going to get attacked by zombies. And they all kind of blew me off and said, yeah, that's not going to happen. And yet there was one of the booths actually had a zombie in it, and there's a picture of me with a zombie. So that's fine. So we got a couple of minutes left. And we've talked about business, we've talked about beaches, although Mary, we never asked you what your favorite beach is.
My favorite what?
Beach.
Beach.
Yes, you know, sand, beach,
yes,
not the other one.
Right. I'm familiar. Daytona.
Ooh. You can drive on Daytona Beach. That's nice.
I've driven on it. Hence why I like that beach. It's unique. So
I'm part of that club. Just driven on Daytona Beach. Interesting. Long time ago, but Nice place. But Fred, you didn't tell us what your favorite beach was.
Well, my one of my favorite beaches is one that's in California. It's not too far away. It's Avila Beach, A-V-I-L-A. I've spent a couple of New Year's days on there. And now that the Senate primaries are over, I get to go back to on Friday afternoons by about 3:30. Well, everyone in Chicago is already gone, and pretty much everyone in Denver is gone, and everyone in California says it's 3:30 and the rest of the country is gone, so they're going to leave. So I'm going to leave the office at about 3:30 on Friday and go out and hit the beach, hit Avila Beach, because on Fridays afternoons, it's just this most peaceful place. Saturdays, you can't find parking, but Fridays, it just rocks. So I'll be there Friday afternoon, and then Saturday I'm going to go to Morro Bay. It's the one with a really big rock, and that's got great parking, and it's a really nice beach also. So those are my two beach picks, at least for today.
Well, if we get two, then my second would be Oak Street Beach, because there's a lot of dating memories, you know, on that beach. So that would be my other.
Okay. Mike, you got a second one?
I don't really have a first one in terms of beaches, but I spent a lot of time around Oak Street Beach. Mary brought that up when I lived downtown Chicago for quite a few years. So I think that's it's certainly entertaining, you know, and that's what we need, isn't it? There's you see all kinds of things down there. That's for sure. That's the extent of my beach favorite, so...
All right, so the last topic then, and we got 2 minutes left, is marketing. So, Printer.com gives six tips to improve your marketing. One of them is use images and video throughout your content campaign. Which do you think has a greater impact on your audience? Video, images, or pure text?
Video.
Video.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to say video.
Mike,
you're talking about the online world. I'm just getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah, video. I have to vote for. We're not jumping at the bandwagon.
Okay. Well, I do believe these days with especially with Facebook Live video, I think that is something that is really now finally come of age. When we first started doing this stuff, it was really cutting edge. Now with what Facebook's done, I think it's gotten far, far easier and far, far more useful to do it. In fact, I'm hoping that one of the Chicago interviews we do will also do a simulcast on Facebook Live.
So, I think it's pretty cool, Fred. They've got Periscope, they got Twitter, they got so many new platforms, it's hard to keep track of. I might throw a suggestion in and say it would be great if use Michelle Rempel and have her update people on that a little bit, because, man, there's a lot of confusion with how quickly they're changing all of them.
So I will have I will discuss the blog topic. Video types of video with our resident blogger, Michelle Rempel. She's just throwing something at my head, but that's okay. Maybe we can get her to show up on another show there. So I want to thank both of you for both of you being on the first show and helping me get past my first show jitters. And we'll have both of you back soon. And have a great Thursday evening. Thanks, folks.
That'll be
Thank
great.
You.
Thanks, Brad. Mary, it was great talking.
All right. Take care. Bye.